Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, October 5th, 2018. With me today, I have Dave Hamilton. How are you, Dave?
I am well. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you here. And from the MacCast, Adam Christensen. How's it going?
I'm doing great.
Awesome. And hey, we have a sponsor today. Our sponsor is LinkedIn Jobs, and they have a deal for you. I'll tell you about that soon. But let's just jump right in. And we were having a discussion earlier that I thought we should explore some more. And that's the whole thing about screen time and parents managing their kids' activity on their devices.
Parental controls.
Parental controls. Yes. And so, Dave, you had some interesting thoughts on this. So why don't we start there?
Sure. Well, it's... we get a lot of questions, as I know you do, Adam, at MacCast. We get a lot of questions at Mac Geek Gab about, you know, what's the best way to implement parental controls? What's the best way to, you know, do all this? And it's always difficult to have this conversation without sounding condescending and like a know-it-all.
Right.
Right. Because the reality is while there are certainly some wrong ways to parent, there is no one right way. There are many, many right ways but no universally right either. Like we all get it wrong is the reality. It's just differing degrees of how bad did you do, right?
Mm-hmm. Like that, you're dealing with human beings on both sides, right?
So correct. Yeah.
There's the inherent challenge.
There's a problem, but
all humans are different. And need to be treated differently. So there's no formula because you have variables on both sides.
Yeah, and so it gets interesting having this conversation. But you know, there are sort of two general philosophies that I go with when heading down one of these paths, and that is A, you know, that which is monitored is managed, right? And that can be very helpful. I mean, I use that. You guys hear me say that all the time with regards to what we do in business, right? You know, it's just
in life,
it's a thing in life. Yeah.
It's a life thing.
It's a universal thing that, you know, if you are aware of something, then and only then will you actually be able to effectively or even consider managing it generally. And then there's the other side that, you know, technology is not a substitute for conversation, which is a nicer way of saying you can't expect a computer to parent your kids for you. You need to do it yourself. but conversation is an important thing. So when somebody says, hey, you know, my son is looking at porn and how do I stop him? It's like, well, you sit him down and talk to him about it. It's the answer I want to give. There are certainly technological tools that you can put in place to either help to thwart that or to at least alert you to when this is happening. But it will become a game of cat and mouse. As a person who as a kid was far more technologically savvy than most people at the time, not even most people my age or most people my parents' age, just most people in general back then. Mm-hmm. And like remarkably so, not like now where I might be able to help you because I know a little more or you know, might know a little more and you can help me. Like it was a remarkable difference because I cared about computers and no one else did. Mostly no one else did. And it would have been foolish for my father, who introduced me to computers and is an electrical engineer by training and knows how to program. It would have been foolish for him to try and stop me from doing anything on the computer because I... A, knew more at the time, and B, had more time.
I was going to say had more time is probably the big one, right?
Yeah, like I could figure out how to be better at the game of cat and mouse, so it just never was an issue. We just talked about it. But, of course, that's easy to point back to. Things were way simpler back then in terms of what was available and all of that. Yeah,
it was a different world.
Yeah, and parenting kids now, I mean, my kids are teenagers. One of them's off to college. But if, you know, every 10 years, this changes dramatically. So when people with five-year-olds ask me what they should do, you know, I can only give general recommendations.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, really
the porn thing, which you brought up as an example, Dave.
Yeah.
My feeling is, because of the whole cat and mouse thing, ultimately you're not going to be able to effectively stop your kids from looking for that content if that's what they really want to do.
Correct.
So communication seems to be the best tool here, and maybe some education, like best practices for safe online browsing, which applies across the board, not just to that one subset of content.
Yep.
Well, yep. And there's always the classic dilemma too of, you know, it's in many cases, using the tools and technology that are provided, parents are choosing to use them in a way where it's more of a, I'm going to treat the symptom rather than what the root issue is. I don't even want to call it a problem. An issue is probably not even the right. You're not dealing with the root thing, which is, you know, and it's going to vary depending upon what your kids are doing. Like if it's too much social media or too much time gaming or too much time with violent games or too much pornography or too much whatever, you have to step back and say, okay, what thing is this feeding the kid at this time? And it's going to be different for every kid and every time. And, you know, like, just cutting it off or trying to stop it. Yeah. You're going to effectively do that in one place, but again, they're going to find a way, because the root of it is they're curious about something, or they're dealing with something, or they're, you know, whether it's escapism or whether it's, I'm just curious about sex, or it's just, and so you need to, you can do both things, but really you're better off doing the other thing, which is, like you said, having a conversation, trying to help them get through this thing that they're trying to get through. And so many times people want to use the technology just as the babysitter or the stopgap, because what is perceived by the parent as an immediate effect, right? Oh, well, I'm just going to cut off their access.
It also avoids what before it happens feels like an uncomfortable conversation, right?
Right.
Like, yep. You know, I think my kids, you know, playing violent games or looking at porn, any of the things. And it's like, well, I don't know how to talk to them about that. So the best thing to do is to implement, you know, some technological prevention. And we do that here. Like I've run OpenDNS for years. I've put in sort of rudimentary stuff, and because I know you can get around it. I figured all these things out myself. Mm-hmm. So I will put the rudimentary things in place so that there is a reminder that, hey, this is not something that officially, you know, we sanction here. But, you know, if you want to plug in 1.1.1.1 as the DNS on your computer or your iPhone and you know how to do that, that's fine. I'm not going to put you through the hassle of having to figure out a VPN. Because, you know, well, first, my kids figured that out anyway, because their school blocks more than they want. So they figured out how to use VPNs very, very quickly.
right? Really smart kids.
But that's, well, but I do. But like most kids have figured this out. Like that's a common thing for kids to run VPNs these days. And if that's a surprise to you as a parent, then you need, like, trust me, if your kid's in middle or high school and is allowed to use a smartphone at school, they know how to use a VPN.
How they get past the school controls.
That's how they get past the school's controls. Right. So like it's worth having that conversation. And that's sort of like, I look at this, and we're all different, I look at this as a fun dinner table conversation. Like, right. Hey, yeah. You know, like, what do you do with that? But sometimes it's, you know, calling somebody out. And I've gotten called out at the dinner table, just like my kids have. We do it respectfully, but it's like, hey, you know, I think you were looking at porn yesterday. And Jeff, you had a great thing in when we were discussing this pre-show, where you said, you know, and you even said it here, abstractly, is, hey, you know, when you're looking at porn, you might want to be careful of malware and this and that and the other, and having that conversation about safe browsing practices. Right. You know, and that's like also a good way to address the topic in, you know, coming at it from the side a little bit, where you as a parent can acknowledge that, yes, I know you're doing this. You know, yes, we need to talk about it, but let's sort of slide into this topic from the side and say, all right, let's talk about safe browsing practices. Okay. Now that we're here, we've already acknowledged that we've said the word porn. Cool. Now let's talk a little bit more about that, you know, right. And we're already here
across less accusatory.
Correct. Correct. Yeah. Well, and it's just easier. It's an awkward conversation to have. I'll tell you that. You know?
And there's also the deeper dangers too. And at an age appropriate place, having the conversation about, okay, you know, again, what's going on here? Well, you're curious about this, that, and the other. Let's talk about that. Let's also talk about why I'm concerned about these areas that you're venturing into, because there are darker holes that you might uncover or start to fall down. And they're probably even places that your curiosity doesn't want to take you. So, you know what I mean? And you don't have to go into a lot of details here, but, you know, having those conversations to say, this is why I want to protect you from some of this, because there are some, you know, things that maybe you're not ready for yet. Maybe you're not, you know, and explaining that to your kid. Yeah. And then they will start to go, oh yeah, maybe I want to be careful here. I want, you know, whether it is the malware or it's, you know, something else, deeper, darker recesses of the internet, you know, there, all of the internet is not great. And there's places in the internet that I don't want to go. And it's like, I don't want to go to these places. I also don't want you to go to these places yet, because, you know, you're still developing, you're still maturing, your brain's just not ready for it. And kids are super smart. They understand that stuff.
When we, you know? My son is 16 now. So I think about 5 years ago, we got our first, you know, I'll call it a black light, a UV light, right? Mm-hmm. And we got it to find spots on the floor where the pets had been urinating, right? So, you know, where it's a Saturday afternoon or whatever, we're, you know, trying to black out the windows in one room so that we can see on the floor, and my son's with me and we're doing all this stuff and we're having fun with it, right? And he's like, hey, can I try? And I looked at him and I said, now, yes, but first I need to tell you something. This is going to highlight anything, like we are using this to highlight where bodily fluid has been, you know, put on the floor. But there are things that you cannot unlearn. So you need to be careful where you aim the light. And he looked at me and he processed for a second and he said, right, floor only. And I'm like, yes, okay, good. You get it. And then with an appropriate sort of, you know, additional gap, he said, also, we should never bring this with us to a hotel room when we travel. I'm like,
see, right. Your kids are smart.
Exactly. There are things you cannot unlearn. And that's exactly what you're saying here, Adam, is like, right, saying, yeah. Hey, look, you know, be careful where you look, because you, that might create a problem, but also telling them, say, hey, look, if you encounter something that really upsets you or scares you or scars you, I'm here. I've probably heard about it, even if I haven't seen it myself. And let's have that conversation. So, you know, this is, it's very difficult to have this conversation and include really any technology in it, because it's all, I mean, it can be helpful in terms of a reminder, but that's all it is, right? It's an initial little, you know, it's a tiny little latch. I wouldn't even call it a lock on the door, right? It's a latch that says you have to unlatch this if you want to go in here. Oh, right.
And you can use your hindsight, because I mean, honestly, my parents weren't very good at this stuff with me. I mean, they were great. I love my parents. They did a great job and stuff like that. But in there, some of these areas, you know, sure, I was pretty much on my own. Mm-hmm. And it was scary times. And so like, use your power of hindsight to go back and go, wow, what would I have wanted my parent to do for me when I was processing all this stuff? Like, you know, we were all teenagers once. We all went through all this stuff and all these feelings and all these things, right? Whether it be, you know, bullying or you know, just developmental stuff, and go back and just, you know, take a step back and go, hey, what would I have wanted, you know, my parent to do, and try to approach it from that aspect, and it starts to kind of make sense and be straightforward, you know, again. And then to bring it back, I think we should bring it back to the technology, because I mean, ultimately what we were starting with were things like screen time and, you know, regulating that stuff. a lot of parents want to do, and you know, just the parental controls. And I think I had commented in our conversation that one thing that frustrated me and actually my kids
actually was hold that thought.
Yep, you want to get to the,
because I want to talk about our sponsor, and I was going to ask you about what you're about to say specifically.
Perfect.
So now we have a great way to leave people hanging for a minute while I say, hey, our sponsor today is LinkedIn Jobs. And the great thing about LinkedIn Jobs is that if you are an employer and you're looking for new employees that are a good fit for your company, you want to find the right place to start hunting so that you don't waste time and money and get frustrated. LinkedIn Jobs is a good place to go because you already have 70% of the workforce in the United States using LinkedIn, and businesses have found that they have a 40% higher success rate with the quality of their candidates when they use LinkedIn Jobs compared to other job boards. So you have a higher likelihood of finding someone that's interested in what you're doing with your company. You have a higher likelihood of finding someone that's actually qualified to work for your company, and to find that person that's just the right fit when you're using LinkedIn Jobs. So what LinkedIn is doing to make this even cooler for you is they want to help you save a little more money because you listen to Daily Observations. So here's the deal. Hurry to linkedin.com/TDO and get $50 off your first job post. That's linkedin.com/TDO to get $50 off your first job post. linkedin.com/TDO. Terms and conditions apply. And thank you, LinkedIn Jobs, for being our sponsor today. All right, Adam. So,
yep.
What is it that's bugging you about the parental control screen time stuff?
Yeah. So, you know, related to everything that we've been talking about, you know, my kids at different levels and at different ages, we've used various levels of parental controls, and a lot of it is again more just about, you know, like a big one that I have used is the adult content filter on their browsers. And actually my oldest daughter has thanked me for it because we've all been on Google and we know what happens when a Google search just randomly goes south on you, right? It happens. Yeah. And it stops some of that stuff. And so she actually enjoys it. And related to that, and related a little bit to the earlier conversation before I mentioned this other stuff, is, another great thing I think parenting wise is being open with your kids about when you are activating technology blocks and stuff like that. Talking about why, like I've also activated and I don't let them turn off location services, but we had the conversation like, I need to know this is a safety thing for you and for me so that, you know, if something's wrong, I know where you are and you're out and about and I can, you know, something happens. So it's not about, you know, I'm not going in there every day and trying to track you and see where you're going. This is about in an emergency, I need to know certain information and this is a tool where I can get that information. So just sharing that stuff. But consequently with iOS 12, I had not realized that parental controls are merged in with screen time. So I had also activated screen time and we talked about that. And it's like, again, going back to Dave's earlier conversation, it's more about having the information and the tools to then, you know, potentially act on that stuff. If not, you know, I love screen time because I love, you know, just the exposure. It gives you new data to work with, right? And then how you deal with that data
is
totally
separate. Facilitate a conversation.
Yeah. And my daughter was also really enjoying screen time because for the same reasons we all enjoy it. It's like, oh, it's interesting to see, oh, wow, I'm kind of spending a lot of time in games, or I'm spending a lot of time in Facebook and I didn't realize I was spending that much time. And then you can kind of take action on that. You can self-regulate. And so she was very excited to start self-regulating. But the other day she comes and she goes, Dad, I can't set my time limit. I want to set a time limit on Pinterest because I do a lot of browsing on Pinterest and I don't want to do more than, you know, 15 minutes a day or something like that. I'm like, well, you can just change it. And she's like, no, I can't because there's a passcode on it. I went, huh? Why is there a passcode? Well, there's a passcode because parental controls have been moved under screen time and I had a passcode for the parental controls. So by having parental controls, she was unable to self-regulate with screen time. So I just ended up removing it because again, we've had all these conversations and I know she's not going to go in there and change things. She has said she's not, and I trust her on those things. So, but I did have to turn it off, and I could see how for some parents, you know, maybe you do want to let them self-regulate their screen time stuff, but still want to have parental controls for some reason. So I'm going to be giving some feedback to Apple that I think it's good to have maybe either separate passcodes or just separate that stuff. I don't know. But yeah, that was a little frustrating. But otherwise, I'm enjoying the new screen time.
Dave, how about you? And then we'll wrap up.
Yeah, I haven't used the new screen time all that much. I mean, again, I used it during the iOS betas. I felt like I needed to tweak it to tell it, you know, hey, well, yeah, I'm, you know, this is actually not social media. This is like, you know, right. Its categories were
like put Slack in social media or something. I think.
Yeah, it was like, yeah, no, that this isn't quite right. So the data I was, back to my original point, that which is monitored is managed. The monitoring wasn't really helpful. So it didn't give me anything that was valuable for me to manage from. And so it's just like, yeah, okay, never mind. Like moving on. That's cool. Great. I'm sure it'll be helpful to some people, mm-hmm. and maybe me in the future, just, on first blush, no, it was not.
So. Well, actually, and I just looked, Slack is in productivity, so I got that wrong, but it does have a few things that fall into weird categories. Yeah. But again, I think where it's really useful, like I'm not using any of the controls like downtime or app limits or any of those sorts of things. I'm just finding it more interestingly informationally. So I occasionally go in there and look at it and go, oh, yeah, that's interesting. That's about the effect of it. And it's, I think it's nice. There's no problem in having additional information that's there when you feel like you need to use it. Like that's what's kind of cool about it. And, I see it in the same way as I see like my health activity stuff in a lot of ways. It's like, hey, it's there when I want to get more healthy and maybe stand more. And, I can turn those features on. And if that's not my priority or I just don't care about that stuff, no one's forcing, it's not in your face. It's not like right up there and you can turn it on and off at will. And hey, do what you want with it. And to your point, Dave, it's great. It's like that one side of that equation, right? It's like, here's information.
Do with it what you like.
You can manage it at whatever level you want to manage it at.
Yep.
And that's what screen time is for me. I look at the charts every now and then, and I let it give me a report on social networking, just because I want to see the reports pop up so I can, I have a better feeling about how all the tools work. My favorite screen time experience, though, I just have to share this. This is, I believe, the day after the first beta was released. And Dave, you and I were at WWDC, and you were playing with my iPhone so that you could see the screen time settings, or my iPad, whatever it was that I put it on.
Yeah.
And then the next day, I'm posting stuff on Twitter, and a dialogue pops up and says, hey, you've hit your screen time limit for the day for social networking. It's 1 hour.
Yeah.
And I looked at my screen and out loud, I went, Dave.
Yeah.
Because I knew where that had come from. Anyhow.
Yeah, like messages in there or something, right?
Yeah. So, go ahead.
No. I was just going to say the one last thing, and this is getting back to the parenting stuff. And, I had thought of this when we were having the conversation earlier, and for people who are kind of thinking about parental controls and what to do there, really, I think the summary of that is that parental controls without the parent part is just control, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're only doing half that equation, the technology part is the control part. Like I can set limits, but you still have to kind of pay attention to the front part of that, which I think, as we've discussed, is a little bit more the important part. And it's not easy. I'm not saying this is easy for parents. And again, there's no judgment here or anything like that. It's just more awareness. Like, really think when you're trying to decide to start to use parental controls, think about why you're needing to do it and remember to have kind of open conversations about why you're doing it and why you feel the need to do it and how it works and stuff like that. That's really important.
That's awesome. All right. Dave, we're kind of over time, but you told me about some advice you had to dish out a few days ago. Yeah. I would love for you to share that, and then we'll wrap up the show.
Sure. This was actually a couple of years ago, but we had somebody write in to MacGeekGab saying, hey, along these lines, my daughter was, we have limits. She can't, she's not supposed to use, the internet for screen time, or not supposed to have any screen time after, say, 8 p.m. And he's like, and she was violating this. And so on our router, we implemented bandwidth restrictions so that her devices all stopped being able to use the Wi-Fi after 8 p.m., whatever it was. And he said, and then 4 days later, I get a text from AT&T saying that we're almost over our bandwidth allotment. And of course, what his daughter had done is she had tethered her laptop to her phone so that she could have bandwidth after 8 p.m.
Because she's a smart girl.
Yeah, right. And he said, yeah. And the problem is, he's like, she's obsessed with this show, Gossip Girl. And she just won't stop watching it. And, and he's like, I don't know what to do. And he even said, he's like, I understand this is a parenting issue, but, do you have any technological advice? Like, how can I stop her? And you can, with AT&T, you can turn off a device's data for the remainder of the month, if you like. Right. So that was certainly one option. And I said, but for you, I actually have a better option. He said, I told him, I said, my daughter was obsessed with Gossip Girl too. And the whole thing was, the whole 8 seasons or whatever it was led up to this reveal at the very end of who it was that was Gossip Girl. And you were wondering this all the way through. And I said, I happen to know the answer. So I told him who Gossip Girl was. And I said, you can ruin this for your daughter right away if she breaks your rules by simply telling her that Dan Humphries is Gossip Girl. So there you go. Yep.
Oh, spoiler alert.
Oh, yeah, spoiler alert. Sorry. Well,
the show's old enough that I think it's okay.
I think it's okay.
Past the statute of limitations.
I hope so. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. And that is absolutely awesome. And on that awesome, awesome note, I am wrapping us up. Dave, thank you so much for being here today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This was a fun one.
It was a lot of fun. Adam, thank you for being here as well.
Yeah, this was a great conversation. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it was great. And thank you to LinkedIn Jobs for being our sponsor today. Head over to their website, linkedin.com/TDO, to get $50 off your first job post. And listeners, thank you for joining us. I love that you're here every day. I hope you have a wonderful weekend, and we'll see everyone again on Monday.